Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you, Janella, for again leading us there this morning. It's truly appreciated. Let's take our Bibles now and go back to 1 Peter, not 2 Peter, but 1 Peter chapter 1. Last spring, when COVID pretty well put us in lockdown in many ways, I guess I had a lot of opportunity to think and to think about some of the things that I want to talk to you about in the days that are ahead of us to come. The reality is that I've been your pastor now for almost 30 years. And as you know, we've been talking about the time ahead of us, and we've done a lot of life together. And as I was reflecting on this, I just wrote down some of the things that I've been thinking about. We've done so many worship times and teaching times and fellowship times, and we've had times of celebration. We, Owen and I, have been here through 150th and 175th anniversaries, and we've had great times of celebration at Christmas and other events on the Christian calendar when we've been able to enjoy good things. We've had great times of outreach here and there, and even if it always wasn't in events, we have sought on a one-on-one basis to let our life so shine that it would make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. I was thinking of the times that we've been able to eat together and eat and eat and eat, and the fun that we've had, and the laughs and so on along the way. But in all of this, we affirm, and I am so grateful, that we have sought to be faithful to the Bible. This is the foundation upon this which this church stands. It is that God has spoken in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it is just as relevant for where we live today as it was the day that God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, and at various other times throughout history. I am so thankful that in each step of the way, we have sought to listen to the Holy Spirit for wisdom for the next step in our ministry and what we should do and what we should be cautious about. I am very thankful that for all of our times together, think of the countless answers to prayer that we have had. Think of the times of singing and the times when we have laughed and times when we have mourned in times of loss and sickness and sadness. Special times. And how thankful we are that we have done this as a church family. And one of the things going through my mind continually is that I believe I have sought to be a shepherd who cares and keeps the needs of the family foremost in my thinking. But I'm not alone in that, because so many have cared and we've entered in. And that's what family is all about. And so as I've been thinking about this, I've been so grateful that as we've sought to care for one another, we have also sought to be at peace as a family. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is very upfront, forward, and wise at saying, preserve the unity of the Spirit. And by God's grace, we've been able to preserve that unity that ought to be within the family of God, because we obey the Scriptures, we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we are sensitive to one another, team is a big thing, and God uses us all as individuals. So these types of thoughts have been going through my mind and filling me with gratitude for the time that we have had. But I've been thinking about a few words that have been shaping my thinking. And to those of you who are guests with us this morning, we as a church family, they all knew that I was going to have a big birthday in July. And so we had discussions last spring. And right now there is a pastoral search team looking for the next leader. But I am continuing on and for a time. So one of the things I've been thinking about is there's a few things I'd like to say to you over whatever length of time that are like final words. But I'm not going away yet, so don't get worried, okay? But there's things that, well, you'll understand as I continue here. Some of the words I want to share with us this morning, well, let's start with the first one. It's the word transition. Transition is a passage from one place to another, or a state from one state to another. And here in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, Peter says, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ to God's elect, strangers in this world scattered throughout the region. And in chapter 2 and verse 11, he uses the same term. He says, I appeal to you, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Peter had in mind transition. If you're using the King James Bible, you may find the term there, sojourner or pilgrim. And this is the Christian understanding of the transition that is taking place in the life of the believer, where we have an understanding that this earth is not our home. We are passing through. We are in transition. And boy, I could tell you a few stories, and we know of people from our congregation who, as they get older, like they want to go home to heaven. And that's to be a good transition. It's actually God's will. And let me put it this way, that transition has been worked into the universe as God's design for life on planet Earth. When you plant a seed, it grows, it has fruit, it dies. We are born, we're children, we're youth, we're adults, we're seniors, we die. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. This is in God's design. This is His will, something He set in motion on planet Earth. So transition is from one season to another, or from one place or one state to another. A real picture that we all have of this is when the Olympics come on, isn't it? Where we have a person who carries the torch. And let me put it this way. They do it for a time, and then they do it for a distance. And then they fade into the background. They don't cease to exist, but they have a role to play. They carry it for a time. They carry it for a distance. And then someone else takes that torch and continues on in a very positive way to the lighting of the flame. In the Christian experience, it's interesting in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. It has a commentary here about David, King David. And as we know, David was the man after God's own heart, and he wrote some of the Psalms and was influential as the king over Israel. But it says in Acts 13:36, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried. And so in the will of God, transition is a reality. David served God's purposes well in his generation. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope that all of us want to own that type of goal in life. We all know we're not going to be here forever. But from a Christian perspective, I want to represent Jesus well. I want to be a good ambassador. I want to live for Him and obey Him, and because I walk with Him, I want to influence others to join with me in faith in Christ so that in the transition they will be with me in heaven. This is the call upon every one of our lives. David served his generation well, and he served God's purpose in his generation. So transition is something that God has wired into the universe. We all know this. And transitions are God's will, and they are designed to serve His holy purposes. And so we've been talking as a church family about transitions for a time. And the time will come when I'm going to pass the torch on to someone, a new leader, someone that I would pray will take our church family and take them ahead another leg of the journey, and that the church will be affected and will grow, and that God will bless as time goes on. Let me just say this, that we need to be praying for our pastoral search team as they seek out a new leader. Pray that they'll have wisdom. Put this on your daily prayer list. And pray that God will give them wisdom to determine His will. And then pray for wisdom as a church family as we seek that leader. Because transition is going to happen. And so we need to all together play a unique role in seeking God's wisdom. So transition is a word that I've been thinking of a little bit. It is a reality. It is God's will. And in regard to our church family, it applies to us right now. But I've been thinking about another word, and it's the word preparation. When Ethel read our scripture in 2 Peter there, I was thinking of multiple scriptures. And as my mind began to scan through scripture, I took note of various leaders that God put in place for a time. And as I thought through this, there was something I noticed. They love their people. They love their people. And they were called by God to lead, but it was for a time. And good leaders taught their people. But they taught by explanation with their mouth. They also taught by example. And in a sense, it was like, watch me. Paul says, follow me, even as I follow Christ. But it wasn't just that. Good leaders taught by encouragement. It's not so much, now you do this, and you do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. It's like, we're all in this together. And yes, we need to follow the Lord. And be careful of going in this route. And we really need to go in that direction. Now let's stay together, like sheep, and follow the shepherd. And so it's that type of life-giving approach where we are certainly following the great shepherd. And as he calls an under-shepherd to follow, we follow that shepherd. And in all these leaders' lives, they sought to represent God's word. That's the big issue. It isn't what comes from this pulpit, unless what comes from the pulpit or any teaching opportunity is consistent with what this book says. That is the big issue. And so these leaders, I noticed, love their people. And so it ought to be. Whenever you seek another leader, you want a shepherd who loves his sheep. And they get to hear his voice and they trust his voice and so on. And we'll talk something about this later. But as I was thinking of this, the other issue is every good leader seemed to prepare their people for transition. Remember last winter when we did the snapshots of Scripture, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? And we did Deuteronomy all in one Sunday and the others all in one Sunday. Well, Deuteronomy was written or presented on the plains of Moab just before they were going to go into the promised land. But remember that Moses was not going in with them. Moses took the opportunity for 1 month on the plains of Moab to review, rehearse, refresh them on the things that he had been teaching them all along. Remember this. Be careful here. And he also presented to them Joshua, who would pick up the reins, who would pick up the torch, and he would carry on. But before they went over the Jordan, Moses was taken by God in the mount. But what I want to bring out is Moses was faithful to make sure he prepared God's people for the transition to another leader. And then we go to Joshua. And Joshua in chapter 1, great chapter about that transition. And right through to chapter 23 and 24, where Joshua himself would die. And he prepared God's people for that transition. And he went out strong as a leader. But he felt the responsibility to prepare them for the next leg of the journey. And then I was thinking of Jesus himself even. Because he spent this time with his disciples. But in John chapter 13 through chapter 17, we have what is called the upper room discourse or teaching opportunity that Jesus had when he shared the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And he spoke to them before his death. And then even after his resurrection, he spent another 40 days with them, according to Acts chapter 1. And he taught them and he convinced them that he indeed was the living Lord. He was alive and so on. All I'm saying is this. That Jesus prepared his disciples and his followers for the time when he would leave. Paul, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, he called for the elders at Ephesus and said, "Come to Miletus. I have something that I want to share with you." And he gave his final exhortation because they would not see him again, as to how they were to oversee the flock of God as elders in Ephesus. Now, when we come here to Peter, it's the same issue. Peter, in the first number of verses, verses 1 through 12, has just said, you know, in your Christian faith, as we've come to know Jesus and we have all that we need to go on and live a victorious Christian life, and to honor God and to escape the corruption that's in the world caused by evil desires. And as we have the promises, Peter is just saying, like, keep on. Be very eager to push on and grow in your love for God and all that God has for you. And he's encouraging them to do this because that's just the way Peter has done all along. But at this point, he brings in another element. Because Peter recognizes he's about ready to transition. And so he says here in verse 12, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them." So they've already heard all about them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. "And I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon be put
soon put it aside, that is, in death, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. In each case, there was a rehearsal of the things that the teachers, the leaders presented to them all the way along. A review of already known things, going over vital truths, going over issues, and instructions regarding walking with the Lord. And I kind of picture it like this. If you're at the beach and you're building a sandcastle, you get to a certain point where you need to transition to another level. And what do? You go back down to the foundation again with wet hands or whatever, and you stabilize the moorings of this thing, and then you go a little higher and you stabilize it again, and then you go on, you're making more transitions. It's becoming more complete. It's growing. But in order to do that, you need to keep coming back and making sure that the bottom is not drying out in the sun, and it's just damp enough, and you're preparing based upon what you've already done for going to a new level. I want to tell you that I think that that is the responsible thing to do for a leader. And so my mind since last spring has been thinking through a number of things that I think it's important, because transition is coming, for me to prepare my sheep for this transition, whenever it takes place. And one thing that came to mind was when I read a book by Pastor John Piper. It's called The Pastor as a Scholar and the Scholar as a Pastor. And in your bulletin, I have put that quote, and I want you to turn to that just now. To me, this was striking. And Pastor Piper was so clear on what his role as a shepherd was to his sheep. And we all need to enter into following this type of shepherd. And when I read this, it said that good use of the mind in seeking and finding truth stands in the service of honest, courageous ministry. And the goal of that ministry, whether it succeeds or not, and I assume that means from an earthly point of view, is to put people's souls on solid footing. The aim is to that great affections for God would be awakened by clearly seen and courageously spoken truth. Now that's an ongoing goal. That's what our goal has been all along. It isn't just doing church. No. We get together and we are the church, and we get together and pray, and we get together in Bible study in order that each one of us in our spiritual lives may have solid footing. Solid footing with God and solid footing with one another as life goes on, as Faye Hetherington would say. It's solid footing. This is what God wants for our lives. And I can tell you that the focus here of going forward, advancing, continuing to transition from one place to another spiritually is very important in God's mind. And so the question that comes to me is, what puts our lives in a place of being on solid footing so that we can take the next step? So that we can take the next many steps, being like Jesus and also doing what Jesus did. Because isn't that really the goal? I need to be in a place spiritually where I am on solid footing. But my goal is to proceed as a believer so that I am becoming more and more like Jesus every day. And so that I am doing what Jesus did in my life, in my community, in our world as life goes on. Solid footing. So I'm telling you very openly that it's my intention to, I want to talk openly with you over the next weeks or whatever, and we are going to take time out for Thanksgiving and other things and Christmas if we keep going that far and everything. But it's my intention, in recognition of transition, to prepare you, I hope to help prepare you, so that when transition comes, you will be on solid footing to take the next step, the next number of steps, and that you may go on and prosper in God's work and in God's will. I believe that this is a very responsible thing to do. I believe it's the heart of the shepherd. So that you, well, next week I'm going to talk more about what I mean by solid footing. Because we don't want to have our feet slip. We don't want to lose traction. We don't want to go backwards. We actually don't even want to stay where we are. We want to take a step ahead, and many steps, until God transitions us out, all of us, because it's going to happen. And we certainly want to be in a position where we can say with David that God has indeed used David to fulfill his purposes in our generation. In our generation will come to an end, and there will be another generation. And our prayer would be that they would be on solid footing to continue. So I'm looking forward to what I want to share with you in the coming weeks, as long as it takes, and to make sure. And next week, I want to talk about solid footing, and I want to show in Scripture how that whole concept is so important. It's so important all through. We're going to sing like, "On Christ's solid rock I stand." Okay, very important. Old hymn. And so we need to pray together that God will help our pastoral search team, that He will help all of us, that He'll give our church family wisdom. You are my church family, and we need to have wisdom as God brings about the passing of the torch. And I see this as a very responsible thing to do from my perspective, from my part. And I hope that God will encourage us along the way. Let's take our next closing hymn is, "I Am Resolved." And it has with it that sense that I'm just not going to stand here, and I'm not just going to go backward. I am going to focus on following the Savior, faithful and true, each day. Let's stand together as we sing. Just to remind you to greet one another, and the offering plate is just sitting at the back. And again, we have sought to be cautious about bottlenecking at the entryway, as in the foyer, as we leave, just to be sensitive that we don't violate social distancing, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank You today that You're a great God. We thank You for how Jesus meticulously prepared His disciples for the time when He would ascend and go back to the Father. We thank You for His faithfulness in this regard. And Father, as we look forward to the times that we have ahead of us, Father, give great wisdom. Help us to have fun together around Your word. Encourage our hearts and lift up our lives. Give us perspective and help us to grow to be more like Jesus and to be good representatives of Him wherever You call us in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.